This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network.
Welcome to Sound the Shofar. Here is a clue to tonight's study, Perilous Times and Final Admonition of What is Here. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the third day of June, 2016, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are found in Numbers chapter 1. Verses 1 through chapter 4, verse 20, Hosea chapter 2, verses 1 through 22, and chapter 3 through 24. The New Testament reading is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 12 through chapter 20, verse 20. And this is the sixth week of counting the Omer. And Pentecost, first fruits on day 50, is the evening of June 11th through the evening of June 12th. So that's just next week. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, Pentecost.
Yeah. And tonight on Warn Radio, it's the Epistles of St. Paul to Timothy, Part 5. Perilous Times, Final Admonition. And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. It's Friday night. And
yes, I'm
glad to be here.
Yes, it's been a beautiful day, too. Sky's blue. I have the back door open. Sky's blue. Sun shining.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
It is
praise
definitely
Lord.
Nice, and we've been busy, as I'm sure many of you are. I haven't been following too much with the election lately. I see a few articles here and there. Everybody still seems to be dead set on beating up on Trump. And,
Paul Ryan, didn't he endorse him or something?
Yeah, he finally endorsed him, but it said with conditions. I didn't read it. I'm not the least bit interested.
Either. Me either. There's always got to be condition, doesn't there?
Well, there does, And, the verdict's really out on Trump. We don't know what he's going to do. But, hey, if we can have a socialist, Muslim, Christian, black man that's part white as well in there, we can have a rich billionaire white man that may not know how to run a country, but he's been able to make billions of dollars. Right now,
yeah.
We need someone that knows what a budget is.
Yeah.
We haven't had one of those for a long time. Now, was during
Clinton?
The current
budget is definitely.
What
now? Oh, I was going to say the current budget is definitely out of hand.
Well, under Barack Obama, he's doubled it, and maybe even more now. I don't know.
Oh, probably more.
America is fighting the war over there, and
are we getting the money to fight the war? We borrowing from China?
Well, speaking of China, China and America, they shake hands with one hand, and they shake their fists at America with the other,
over
the South China Sea. Well, see, the United States, and I mentioned this, I was thinking I did an article on this. I may not have, but I've been covering the South China Sea thing, and I think I mentioned this on a radio program a while back. See, America was going to have maneuvers with the Philippines and a number of others in that area of the Philippines and everything. And at the time, I mentioned that America was going to invite China. Well, guess what? China said they would take part. And, that's good. I mean, it's better to have them floating around with you, working with you, than firing stuff at you. So, so at any rate, they invited them and told them, come on over, we're not mad at you, come on in and join us. You're part of the party. So now the Chinese, I hope, feel like they're not hated. Of course, they don't like it. Ayatollah, I put up an article today on him. And he doesn't trust the evil USA and Great Britain. There's something about them, too. I can't remember. But he castigated both Great Britain and America that he doesn't trust them. He'll never trust them. And of course, my commentary on it was, that this is what Barack Obama's friendship got us. Yeah, our enemy, Iran, now has billions of dollars to support Hamas and other terrorist groups, which hate Israel and hate America.
And hate America, yes.
And this opened up for Iran to dump a lot of oil on the market, which they were working on. So all the way around, there's nothing that Obama did with Iran that helped our economy one bit. Matter of fact, it hurt it. So it's good to know that, the fruits of his work, Ayatollah still hates us.
Yeah.
I don't think you're ever going to change him anyway. And, and another thing they did in Iran, this is really kind of humorous. It's not humorous for the people. But, from the Ayatollah, and you have all these strict religious over there, and you have the morality police and everything else. Well, they've been busting tons of youth over there for partying. And some of them are getting drunk. Some of them were bisexual, the whole nine yards. This isn't Iran, for crying out loud.
Wow.
You take this Ayatollah, as strict as he is, you'd think their country would be right on down the line, but it's not. So they busted a whole bunch. They had one party of 60 or 70, and then they had another one about the same size they busted.
Wow.
So I don't know but they're all young people, and, for many years they've been talking that the young people of Iran are Americanized now because they got the smartphones and everything, and they do not care for the way this country is going under the Ayatollah. A lot of them tolerate it, but they don't care for it. There's a lot of the older generation that does, but this one coming up does not like it, doesn't care for it. So maybe there's hope, get rid of the Ayatollah. But see, but Iran, known as the Persians, I've talked about them. I was talking about them doing Babylon last night in our one. And, the Persians or the Iranians, you just name it, either one, they've always been aggressive. They're the ones that of course, had Cyrus and overthrew Nebuchadnezzar's kids, down the line. And but they were also responsible for helping Israel rebuild the temple and get the Jews back into the Promised Land. So that's really the truth. It's kind of funny now that the Ayatollah wants to get rid of Israel when they've got Jews that live quite happily. They live there in Iran. And there's always been Jews over in the Persian Empire because of what happened with them carried captive because of Babylon. You have this today that there's still Jews over there, but it's kind of funny that Cyrus was the one that of Persian helped to get the Jews back in the land, and now this Ayatollah wants to destroy them out of the land.
That's crazy.
Yeah, well, it isn't going to bode well for them, I can tell you. God used the Persians before, but if they start screwing around, he'll destroy them.
That's right.
And he can do it. So it's kind of interesting the way history goes, you know, when you look at it like that. So.
Yeah, it sure is, and nothing new under the sun.
Well, at any rate, so I don't know. I'm not a Trump fan, but I'm not any kind of a fan. There ain't nobody to be a fan of. I'm not a real fan guy anyway. You know, I mean, I might vote for him, but I'm not like, you know, the Pavarazzi. You know, I mean, I don't. You can ask Tower. I'm not like that. The only fan that I'm a fan of is the Lord and the Father. And, you know, I mean, that's it.
Amen.
I am not a paparazzi. I'm not, oh boy, you know, I'm going to go vote and make America better. No, I might vote, but it's not going to make, it's not going to change anything with this country. I mean, I hope that it stays tolerable for a while. And then, you know, I literally expect the Lord to warn us when it's time to get out.
Yeah.
But the thing of it is that,
like
you know,
a flood, he'll move us out.
I tell you, you're really not going to want to be here.
Boy, that's
so at any
truth.
Rate, you know, there, and of course, heading into the end of days, you know, there's not going to be a lot of, now, like some friends of ours, and they don't live in America anymore. They live in the Ring of Fire belt, and they didn't trust Obama, so they left, and they were
saying,
they
feel safer there.
Yeah, they feel safer there, even though there's volcanoes, and they said they'd rather deal with the natural disasters than Obama, so they're down there, and it's really hard to say, you know. People, you know, we've got a lot of friends around the world, a lot of people that we know that are in contact with us quite a bit, and you know, it's just kind of funny the way all this works out. But you know, distance. It's, you know, we're sitting here literally in the wilderness, you know, out in the middle of the wilderness in Wyoming as we do this. And yet we have people that listen to this broadcast around the world. And now, because of all the things that we have now, see, I changed to Blueberry, the foremost podcast, and now we've added even more for the iPhone and all the other, you know, like Samsung and Google, and I mean, you name it. If it's a iPhone or something, you know, or the other, you know, the marshmallow and the lollipop, you know, that's their operating system. Yeah, they're coming out with a new one now for the Android. That's what it is. I think the current version is marshmallow, and they're going to see. They have to name them all candies. I don't know why. So it's marshmallow, and I think there was a lollipop, but this is marshmallow, and the next one is going to be with the letter P. Now, I don't know what it's going to be, but it's supposed to be an updated version of Android, a lot better one. And but at any rate, we've got all that. You can sign up. Another thing I'm excited about, if you've got your cell phone, you can take 24-second clips out of our shows, and you can post them on Clamor or your Twitter or Facebook, so you can do it right from your cell phone, and I was trying it on my site today, but I don't have a Clamor account. I'm using Blueberry, who is working with Clamor, so because I've got a Blueberry account, that's the way it works. So at any rate, we check it out over on Warren USA, and you'll see the links worldwide, Warren Radio Worldwide. You'll see also on the right-hand side sidebar that we have a lot of different things now there for you to listen and for apps that you can get. And there's no reason you cannot listen to this show. around the world. There's no reason. There's no reason that you can't take little excerpts out of this show. And 24 seconds isn't very long, but I was trying to clip a couple, and I did get it clipped. I just couldn't post it because, you know, the thing looked at me and said, hey, you don't have an account with him. Well, I have an account with Twitter. You know, I just haven't signed up, okay? No, they didn't like that, so I didn't get my clip.
Great.
But it does work.
That's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is, and it's all technology, and it's moving so fast. You know, I was looking at some other things about time travel and space warp and, you know, Einstein's theory of relativity and how scientists are working with it. And they've been talking for quite a while now that you can actually bend space. So instead of going
wow.
to a distant star, you can actually bend space, and space will bring the two places together. And that space where they're brought together is a wormhole. And they said that if you took off and if you could find a way to go, you can't use regular gas because it takes too long. But if you could find a way to propel yourself at the speed of light or better, by the time you got to the distant star and got back again, so many generations would have passed, nobody would even know who you are or where you went. Now, you would come back thinking it was just a few months, but by the time you get back home, it would have been decades, centuries before
That's
you get back.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
wouldn't
isn't
you
that
die,
amazing?
Though?
Huh?
Yeah, but wouldn't you die in the process? Because
not in a wormhole, because
aging?
It doesn't take you that long. See, this is the space-time continuum. This is also the thing where they talk about, you know, time travel. You know, Einstein and others believed in time travel. And, you know, I can give you things out of the Bible that illustrate, you know, that thing. And one of it is that the Lord called the end from the beginning. Now, that's foreknowledge. It's not actual time travel, but he knows what it is. He saw it ahead of time.
Right.
So he saw it ahead of time in time itself. And then when you talk about heaven, there is no time, but an angel goes from where there is no time in heaven to where there is time on earth. So he crosses over into another realm, another dimension. See,
Isn't that just mind-boggling?
Yeah, it is. So, you know, many years ago the Lord told me about the materializing of evil. I've used that term in a lot of years, but the materializing
of
evil
I remember.
Is where all of, you take the spirits and the demons on the other side have been able to materialize over here. And it's possible now for them to pass through the portals with no problem. And that's why, you know, you do see a lot of these other entities that seem to disappear. They appear and reappear. Some of the spacecraft actually travel. But there are some of these spacecrafts that they're seeing. They just appear and disappear. And it's like they're going from one portal to another one. And so there's a lot of this stuff. And, it, you know, I find it amazing. And I was listening to this one scientist, and he says, if you look where we were 100 years ago and look where we are today, we've improved so much.
Oh, I know.
So he said, I am convinced that if you give us time, we'll figure out a way to go to a further star on Earth. And he says, we've got scientists, and he rattled them off. Here in America, you know, and Canaveral and the Johnson Center and, you know, many other places, and he mentioned a few others, you know, others around the world, you know, other countries. He said they're all working on getting from this place to the furthest star. He says, we know we can do it. We're trying to figure out how we can do it.
Oh, that's just incredible.
And I reported not too long ago on going to Mars, and it's a fascinating article. Because it'll take, you know, they're going to build the site for the Americans to live in by robot and stock it full of food by robot on Mars. So by the time the guys get there and the gal, it'll all be stocked and be livable and habitation for them. Because once they get there, it will take 2 years for anybody to reach them with more supplies.
Good grief.
So, you know, it is an amazing thing. I love this kind of stuff anyway. You know, the stars and everything. I just, you know, if I could have been an astronaut, I would have. I just love the thought of being able to be on the outskirts of the Earth looking at the vast galaxies. You know, and it's just an amazing sight. Or stand on the moon and see the Earth. I mean, if you can imagine the feeling of that.
I
don't believe that the trip of the moon was all fabricated. You know, I don't believe that for a minute. You know, there are conspiracy theories, and then there are people that are idiots. And, I mean, I just don't go there. You want to believe that, go right ahead, but just stay away from me. You know. But at any rate, we are tonight finishing up in Timothy. It's been a popular series. We've had a lot of people listening to the series when we wrap it up. And I'm looking at doing in the future, I will be going through Romans. And I've got a couple of other things right on the thing that I'm working on as well. We will be going through the most, Romans 11 on Israel will be a good portion of that. Actually, Romans 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13 are all fabulous chapters. Of course, by the time we get to 13, that's the one that many people use to where you have to abide by what your government says. And I'm going to bring some clarity on that.
That'll be good.
I mean, through the Spirit. I mean, I'm not going to do it. It comes from the Lord. And I look forward to that. I really like the book of Romans. It is a great book. And we've been going through the New Testament like this for some time, and then we laid off for a while and did other things. We came back to them. We got to get back in the Old Testament for a while. It's not really the Old Testament. I like the Tanakh. That's the Jewish word for it. And I'm also, with Blueberry, we've got a way to do playlists. So I'm contemplating exactly how I'm going to be doing the playlists. I've got an idea. But I've got to work on it. So, at any rate, we're glad that you joined us whenever you join us. And I can hear all that rattling around.
Sorry. It's just my eyes in my glass.
I know. We are what we are, folks. We preach, and there's just us doing it. And you're going to hear the dog bark once in a while. She's our guard dog. Of course, she won't really bite you. She would more or less love you to death. Of course, there are a few she don't like that come around. And if she don't like you, you better stay away from her.
Yeah.
At any rate, we've got a good thing tonight, and we really don't, when you get into this, Timothy is one of those epistles that really is identifiable with the current situation in which we find ourselves, because it deals with the last days. So we're going to be dealing with the perilous times tonight, 2 Timothy 3. We're going to be dealing with the last admonitions that he gives. And we'll be getting into that in a few minutes or so. But it's been a busy, busy, busy 2 years here. And we have gotten a little space because of the father-in-law has gone to be with the Lord, and we managed to get all the kids work together to get things taken care of with that. It's been stressful. It's been tough, hasn't it, Tower?
Oh, it has been. Very.
And so we've got an anniversary coming up next week. Isn't it next week?
Yes, next Friday.
Yeah, we've been married for 1+ years.
plus, and plus some more.
One plus 43.
No, just 43.
Well, it's 2016.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're
you got
right.
Married in 73.
Well, I'm going by the new math.
You learned that from your daughter, right?
I learned that from my daughter. Yeah, God bless her. She's she has a real stressful job. I'm glad it's her, not me. I couldn't do it. But she makes it through. Well, at any rate, we're going to be celebrating our anniversary when we have it next week, so we will not be having a show. Of course, if we had some handy people to fill in for us, we wouldn't have to worry about that. But I've been looking for people to help me on the websites and do a lot of things, but you just can't find them. So, you know.
Well, it's hard when you don't live in the same area, too.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we've been, you know, when the websites need a website, need a webmaster, I'm the guy that does it. When the articles need posting, I'm the guy that does it. The one thing good about our website is I don't have to wash walls, but I do have to clean out the dust and cobwebs from everything. Takes a lot to keep websites up, and ours are some of the finest websites as far as attractiveness and use, modern code, security, and everything else. And it requires a lot of work, and it's not cheap. So, I hope you appreciate it when you go by there, and tell your friends about the websites. I do have another one, DanaGlennSmith.com, and I'm just really getting it going. I'm just getting the articles going. It's going to take a while to get everything going the way we want it. But I have some top-notch articles on there that you do not want to miss. And if you're not signed up to it, you're not going to know what we're writing, because the email that goes out from Warren USA will not cover anything from the other site unless I do it. See, I have automatic emails going out from Warren USA all the time. And see, actually, Warren USA is three websites. It's warren-usa.com, warren-radio.com, and wingswatchman.org. I combined all the databases, put things together to where we have one really nice major site. And so anybody can put in any of our other stuff, and you will go to that site. But at any rate, we got to start with this, Tower. You have anything you got to say before we do this?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay, we're going to do this. Now, we are 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous. Hard to bear. Hard to put up with. Stressful. These are perilous times that, like Scripture says of Lot, that Lot's soul was vexed from day to day by the deeds that he saw. Vexed, troubled. It was a trial, an ongoing trial, a burden. He was trying to live for the Lord, and every day he was confronted by these things that he didn't want to see, didn't want to know what was going on, but they were there in his face every day. That's the vexation of soul. And so these days today are perilous times, hard to bear with, and as a Christian, you might as well understand that these will be hard to bear. Your soul will be vexed, you know. And it's that extra stress on your soul. It says, and why are they perilous times? Paul goes into a list. Men will be lovers. And when we see the word men, it's not just men, okay? When we read the word men, you know, the men, because of the Jews being a patriarchal society and the apostles being patriarchal, we'll use that term because they're the ones, and even in the church, they are the ones that's supposed to be leading. And this even goes for the home. You know, the men were never intended by God to be subjected underneath the women. Never. We were supposed to be side by side. We were never supposed to have weak-kneed fathers like we see portrayed on many of the sitcoms. Yeah, and Tower even got mad over that. Many times we don't watch any of this stuff anymore. We don't even have a TV. But, you know, I mean, years ago they would do that all the time. You know, they would have a sitcom and the woman would be the one with the brains and the man was the idiot. And they do that, you know, to poke fun at the male. But see, men, you're supposed to be, you know, the high priest of your family. And you're supposed to treat your wife with honor, as Christ loved the church. In other words, you know, women, you're supposed to submit to the men, but, you know, the man, you're supposed to die for your wife. Christ died for the church. and that came out of a couple's seminar years ago, and Evangelist was covering that. And well, we heard it somewhere. I'm trying to, you know, at any rate. That's what the guy was talking about. It was funny. You know? I mean, women just have to submit, but the guy has to die. You know, that's tough. Especially in the context of a marriage. Many women will say, good! You know, let him die. Well, at any rate, this is not on marriage. I ought to do something on marriage, you know. 43 years, Tower and I, you know, do have some things to tell you about marriage. But if you don't have a cooperative effort between both of you, you know, it ain't going to work. You can want to stay married all you want to. And if your husband is a wife beater, you want to get out of there, period. There's no way God wants you in that kind of a situation. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, and we see that today. And one of the biggest things to prove that we are lovers of our own selves is this selfie thing that we do. It is a worldwide hit on cell phones. Selfies are those things, and they've even got a big long stick. You stick your phone in it, and somehow it works the cell phone to where it'll take your picture. And so you stick it out, and you can take a selfie from a distance. You can put someone in there with you. You know, it's real popular, lovers of their own selves. This is one of the biggest things, you know. We're lovers of our own selves. You know, we want to see pictures of ourselves, you know. I mean, and covetous. Oh, dear God, could we go on this covet? Do we covet in America? Well, I can say we do. Now, do I know anybody that covets? Well, pretty much everybody I know covets something at one time or another. Boasters. Well, yeah. We're talking. Now, when we talk about these things, these are supreme. These aren't just like somebody that covets once in a while, or somebody that's a lover of their own self once in a while, or a boaster, you know, every so often. This is the main attributes of what society would be like. proud blasphemers. Do we blaspheme? Yeah. Disobedient to parents. We've seen that for years, the kids being disobedient to the kids, to the parents. Unthankful. Are we unthankful? Many times we're, you know, we've got it out of our own hands. You know, there are a lot of people that don't thank God. Unholy. Are we unholy in America? Well, you know, there's people that don't think that they're unholy at all. Matter of fact, there's a guy out there now, and I was reading the story today, and one was the grandson of one of the biggest evangelists in America. And of course, this guy's been dead and gone for a long time, but the grandson's alive. He's a Christian, and he's gay. And we have a lot of people that are gay and Christian. And you can be gay and Christian, but you can't do those things, and you can't be that way, expect to get into the kingdom of God. Now, of course, in their thing, they use Jonathan and David in that, and that's old. You know, okay, you know, that's, you know, gay and lesbians, they like these kind of things when they see Jonathan and David loved one another and all this other stuff. We take perversion to new heights. You know, but in America, you can't tell them nothing. So at any rate, there's another top singer. Another one came out. He's gay too. And he's married. And the other one was married when they came out. Not to each other are they gay, but, you know. And they go to church, and they're Christians, and they praise God and all the rest. They just happen to be gay. Well, you know, that's fine and dandy, Randy, if that's what you want to be. Now, see, I go according to Scripture, and my Bible tells me you're not going to be able to do that. I mean, that is unclean. That is an abomination. Now, if you want to believe you can be a Christian and still do it, that's your business. But you're going to regret it. But see, you can't tell anybody anything. That's why in the last days, perilous times are here. You can't tell anybody anything. You know, and I'm not going to castigate them. I'll be friendly to them. If that's what they want to do, that's, you know, they're going to do it. See, because as I was saying last night when we were covering Babylon, there's a little scripture, and I'm going to bring it up again tonight, and that is that in the last part of Revelation, chapter 22, the Lord says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is wicked, let him be wicked still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And then if you follow that, it tells you all the things. You're not going to be able to do those things to get into the kingdom of heaven. Folks, this is the thing. You know, those, and at the end of that, the Lord tells you, those that keep the commandments of God are those that enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's what it says. Now, you know, your modern church don't like this. Many of your pastors and theologians don't like it. But you better pay attention to what the Scripture says. But see, a lot of people, you know, they're going to do what they want to do in this country, and that's up to them. See, we're perilous times. People are not going to listen, and they're going to, well, this is what I believe. Okay, fine. Without natural affection, truce breakers, you know, they're not good in their word, you know, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. You know, you just try being, you know, you'll find out how quick the despisers of those that are good. I'll tell you who got it the most. That was Sarah Palin when she ran. You know, she was vice president, you know, a nominee. And you see, she's a good-looking woman. She had a good-looking husband. She has beautiful kids. She lived in a gorgeous place. She had been governor. She had everything. Plus, she went to church. She was a Christian. She, you know, everything she seemed to have. And when she ran, you know, the mainline lesbians that are in the movies and in the media just castigated her. Some of the top people that you know came out and they just despised her. Well, they hate her. Why? Because she was righteous. She was good. Yeah. Now, you can hate this all you want to, but God is about righteousness and truth. And you're supposed to forsake these other things. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Dear God in heaven, yes, we got that. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, see, that is the problem we have, is that there is a power, see, a form of godliness but denying the power. There is a power that rises you above the lust of the flesh. See, when you are born again through the Spirit, there is this power that delivers you from the lust of the flesh and the desires of the mind. And if you are adequately following this sanctification process and regeneration process, then these things are going to be taken care of. And you're not going to have these other desires. And, you know, these other desires are perversions, and they'll send you into the pit of hell. I mean, they will. But see, in today's church, they will have a form of godliness because they will decide, and the pastors will decide, it's okay to do those things. God's a God of love. Everything will be fine. They will read the Bible and read into it things that are not. Even Peter talked about that when talking about Paul, that some of the things that Paul writes are hard to be understood, and people will twist them to their own detriment. Now, that's paraphrased, of course. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Now, he didn't go into details, but you don't need details, you know. Lead captive silly women laden with lusts. You know, led away with divers lusts. Now, see, whenever you put godliness, a form of godliness, with sexual immorality, you wind up with things like Jezebel and the Nicolaitans, which Christ condemned in Revelation. And so we are in a society when anything goes. And you have to understand that in our society, we don't know what sin is. We don't. We don't accept it. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That tells you today's society. Now, see, I was talking tonight about the technology, about everything that we can do now. We're ever learning. But we can't come to the knowledge of the truth about our God and Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, and about godliness and truth. You see? Because people, they're sold on this technology. It's learning. You know, God, that's the way, when the Lord had put Adam and Eve in the garden there. And the serpent, you know. Another name for the subtlety of the devil. Came up and spoke to Eve. And the whole jest was, you will be as gods, knowing good and evil. That knowing is based on learning. And then when we talk about Daniel, he talks about knowledge will increase. And people will go to and fro on the earth. That's where we're at today. But see, it's that knowledge we find in the garden. We also find it, one of the things, Eve saw that fruit was good to look at. And when she touched it, she didn't die right away. So she went ahead and had a bite, and it tasted good. And she didn't die even after she had a bite, so she couldn't understand why. But see, the whole thing that got the devil in with her was the fact that she would be as God, knowing good and evil. That's knowledge, ever learning. See, now Paul picks up on this with Timothy. Ever learning. You're going to have knowledge. You're going to learn. You're going to have knowledge. You're going to live in a society that has all these neat things. But you'll never come to the knowledge of the truth regarding salvation. He says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, these were the a couple of the sorcerers, magicians that were alongside Pharaoh, so do these also resist the truth. Now you see, these two men withstood Moses. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. You couldn't talk to them. They're corrupted, reprobate concerning the faith. Totally useless concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and, well, you know, the one thing that Paul goes in here is that he goes through these things and he talks about those who withstood Moses, wouldn't listen to the truth. And so he uses his own example, his own life, matter of fact. And it is in this that he tells them, you know, this is the way it is, you know. This is, look who's talking. You know my life. And so as such, you know, as such, you listen because it's fruit. I wanted to double check on the thing, and that's what I was doing. Jannes and Jambres were the traditional names of the Egyptian magicians who resisted Moses in Exodus 7:11 and 7:22. I wanted to double check that. I don't write all this stuff down. I'm just doing this as it comes to me. So I wanted to make sure I didn't tell you something that... So at any rate, I feel better now because I was pretty sure of that. So at any rate, you cannot discount the fact that he says you have fully known my doctrine and manner of life. See, it's in front of everybody. And so Timothy, he was looking at Paul, who is the father in the faith. And so Paul is telling him some final things, and these are really important things about the end of days. What men are going to be like. See, and if you don't know this stuff, you look at society and you can get depressed. Now see, society is not in America or around the world going to be ever like it used to be. And I can remember as a boy, you know, we respected the elders. You know, we opened up the doors to the women, you know, and I still open up the door for my wife. But I stopped opening up the door for other women because I haven't found a lady. You know, my wife's a lady. But you see, there's a lot of these that don't appreciate it. Matter of fact, they get offended because they don't want no man opening a door because they're a woman. They can do anything that a man can do, and don't you open up that door because I'm going to open it up. Fine, opening your own door. I don't care. But see, in the old days, and I say old, I mean, society was different, you know. And even when I got to be 17, 16, I could walk into the bank. The banker was my next-door neighbor. my dad had taken out a lot of loans there. I would walk in, and if I wanted anything, all I had to do is sign my name. I had a certain amount. I could walk into the bank, sign my name, and away I went. I could have the cash within short time. That's the way it works. It used to work. Don't work anymore. You know, it was a time when men were good for their true, for their word. And things are different. Today, it's not like that. And all your roles are all mixed up between men and women. And so society is ever learning. They have technology. They have all this good stuff, but they can't come to the knowledge of the truth before God. Matter of fact, it is in this same study when we got in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that society is not only not able to come to the knowledge of the truth, which is mentioned here in 2 Timothy 3, but Paul mentions in 2 Thessalonians 2 that the people are going to reject the love of the truth, which is the gospel. Salvation, redemption, regeneration, being able to live above the lust of the flesh. See, God doesn't want you to live in the lust of the flesh. He wants you to live above the lust of the flesh, and you can do it through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in your faith. God makes allowances. There's a power. And see, these people don't have power in this particular scripture. Paul's warning about that. Timothy, stay away from these people. They don't have power. There's no regeneration. There's nothing. You know, they walk around and they want pleasure. They can't come to the knowledge of the truth. They resist the truth when you try to tell them. They don't want to listen. So they got this folly, Paul says. And that folly is going to be manifested. Now, see, in their day, you know, they weren't even in the end of days. Now, see, today, everybody's having a folly today. Everybody's in their own little world. People don't want to hear about the true love of the truth, which is Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That there is a God the Father who sent his Son to die on the cross for your sins, to deliver you, not in your sins, out of your sins, not in your lusts, out of your lusts. That's regeneration. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. Behold, all things are made new, Scripture says. Not old. You know, if you were full of lust before, you're not going to be full of lust after. The Scripture doesn't say that. All things are made new. But they're not made new, not if you're living in the same lusts of the flesh. And we can do that today because churches and pastors have not come to the knowledge of the truth. They resist the truth, and these pastors will be judged for what they've taught. This is the problem with America. And you can stand before cameras, and you can say, well, I'm a Christian, and I do this, and I do that, and, you know, I go to church, and you know, the secular press don't care. Oh, it sounds good, you know. I mean, you can have everything. You have your sins and have God, too. Everything's great. See, this is the way Satan wants it. This is the way the world wants it. And Paul is warning here about these things. But he says in verse 12, and this is where you need to pay attention, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All that will live godly, that's righteously, that's holy. Now, if you want to know what the lusts of the flesh are, you get into Galatians. Maybe we need to do that study. Yeah, well, I'm going to do it. It's just because Paul lists the lusts of the flesh. These are the deeds of the flesh. If you do them, you're going to suffer corruption. See, because these people are going to be despisers of those that are good. And when they despise you, they're going to cause persecution for you. They're going to come against you. He goes on to say, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. See, the evil men and seducers, they're already evil. They're already seduced. They're already deceived. But they're going to get even worse than they were in Paul's day. Well, we're fast forward to today. It's pretty bad. You can't tell anybody anything, and that's why the mainline scripture, and I keep going back to it, you have to remember this. This will take a lot of the pressure off you. The Lord tells us in Revelation 22, he that is ungodly, let him be ungodly still. Let him, the Lord says. Now, see, we're there to pray for him. We're there to tell him the truth. We're there to testify, to be the light. But, okay, let's go back to John 3:16. You know John 3:16. Now go down a few verses from there. And the Lord says they don't come to the light because they love their deeds of darkness. Now see, the Lord stood on the shores of Galilee. He walked in Jerusalem. He testified. He was that light. He says, as long as the light is with you, you know, you're not in darkness. But if I leave, you know, I mean, you're going to be back in your darkness again. I mean, he was that light. Now, see, you and I are that light. He said, you know, a light, you know, you can't take a candle into a room and hide it and expect to light up the room. He said, you're that light. You're that light on a hill. You're that candle in that dark room. You know, we are of the day, not of the night. We are of Christ. And so we stand as a beacon, not only to tell them what truth is, but guess who they're going to get mad at? The godly. They'll find some reason to hate you. And all the while, and if you think it's bad now, baby, it's going to get worse. Why? Because the Antichrist hasn't come yet. When that dude shows up, now I say Antichrist. Scripture actually doesn't call him the Antichrist. It calls him Beast and calls him the son of perdition. You know, and another name for the beast, of course, is the dragon, Lucifer, Satan, the devil. But you see, you will have that one. Paul calls him the son of perdition, but he will also have a false prophet. They will be the ultimate evil men and seducers, and they will seduce the world. And they will also reject the love of the truth, which is found in 2 Thessalonians 2. This is where both of these, you know, these contexts that Paul is teaching Timothy come in at. He says, but continue thou in the things which you have learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. Now see, why do I teach the apostolic doctrines? Why do I go back to the Bible and the scriptures? Why do I go back to what the Lord was doing, what the apostles were doing in the early church? Because I want the truth. I want to go back to what they did and do what they did and walk in how they're doing it. See, because that, through the Holy Spirit, is what God wants us to do. See, we learned these things through the Lord who taught them to the apostles and taught them to the church. Now, of course, we've been doing this, you know, the reading on Polycarp. But see, some of the later ones, after the apostles, they were martyred. And once they died, there was very few of those that knew the truth left. And then you, by the time you get to Constantine and you get to when the Catholic Church really starts growing, you see evil men and seducers that enter in and literally take over the whole thing of the church. And for generations, it's led in darkness, and that's why when you get to the Black Plague, you have such a mess. That's why, you know, even before, you know, Luther pounded his 98 theses on the wall, you know, and let the Catholic Church know that they were doing things wrong. See, God was beginning to give them revelation again as to what the truth was. And one of the main ones God wanted them to know is what he told, revealed to Luther, and that was, you're saved by grace through faith. Faith is that salvation. It's not the church. It's not being a member of the church. It's faith in Christ and what he did on the cross. Now, so he says, but continue in the things which you have learned. Now, Timothy learned them from Paul and has been assured of. He also learned a lot of stuff from his mother and grandmother, and they were holy, and Paul knew it, and he even mentions it, and we covered it in this. and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. Now, see, that's Timothy. He knew these things from a child. And it was through Paul, though, that he came to the Lord. He says, they're able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's the crux of where we're at. That simple thing there, that's salvation. And if you fall away from that, well, put it bluntly, you're screwed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, I'm telling you, we're not talking about man's righteousness. We're talking about God's righteousness. And talking about the difference between walking in the Spirit and walking in the lust of the flesh. And I can tell you that a lot of the things that people are doing in the churches and their pastors have agreed and said that it's okay to do, they are an abomination. They've got religion. They're in the whore church. The whore church says, fine, do them. And you better believe this, folks. There is a whore church out there in America and the world today. It's been there for quite some time. All you can do, you better know the truth. Because Scripture is there. First of all, it's inspired of God. And there's different levels of inspiration. And the Jews know this very well and have some great teachings on that inspiration. The direct revelation inspiration that Moses got from God on the Mount is the highest level. But this is profitable for doctrine, for that teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Righteousness and holiness go hand in hand. And see, in the beginning, God didn't make Adam and Steve, or Eve and Jennifer, and expect them to reproduce. He didn't put two male buffalo on the plains of Wyoming and said, okay, boys, reproduce. Now, I'm telling you that in America, Obama has made it almost a law to come against these kind of things. Now, see, the issue is, do they have a right? Yeah, they have a right. And I don't deny their right. They can be that way because America's made the laws. And I'm not going to try to change them. If they want to know the truth, I'll tell them. If they get mad, that's their problem, not mine. It's not my job to change America. It's my job to testify. You're not going to change America by putting in a bunch of Christians. And remember, we elected Bush. He said he was a Christian. We know what that got us. But you see, we're to be instructed in righteousness. This is something America doesn't know. That the man of God may be perfect, and that's what that word means, perfect. Be ye holy as I am holy, saith the Lord. Be perfect as I am perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. These are tough things. 2 Timothy 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as is appearing in his kingdom. Now you see, that's the bottom line. God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick and the dead. That's the alive. The quick are the ones who are alive, who are living. These are the righteous and the dead. The dead are the ones that are dead in their sins. God you know, the Lord, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to bear for the things, even as Christians, what we've done in this body. Preach the word, he says to Timothy. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. If you're going to try to exhort, that is, it's exhortation is a light preaching. It's like preaching without a license, okay? If you preach in a lot of churches, well, see, when you get out of Bible school, you know, when I graduated, I had a license to preach, you know. Oh, I graduated and I also got a license to preach. Then God had to do a work on me, and it took time because he had to teach me that it's not man's license that makes you a preacher or a teacher. It's the Lord. You know, anybody can look in a book of commentary and read it and teach it. Now, if you could look at my notes tonight, I have one thing there. And Tower can verify this. Very few times do I have any more than this. Almost never. You can ask Tower. It's the Word of God. That's all I got here, folks. The Word of God. Now, tonight, I got out the commentary just to check on Janice and Jambres to make sure that I wasn't, you know, that it was correct. But I read these things and I preach it. That's what I do. I teach it. This comes out of my spirit and my soul. God fills my bucket. I teach what he gives me. Now, that may be hard for you to understand, but that's what I do. I don't go around the internet to find from other people what I should preach and teach. I don't wait for my presbyters to send me an email, say, okay, Mr. Watchman, this week I want you to preach on that. See, that's what they do in some churches. You know, they just send it down from the hierarchy to make sure the pastors don't teach something that they don't like. And in order to preach in some of these churches, you better make sure that you know their doctrine, and you got to be one of theirs so that they've given the little chit to, because they know that if they taught you and warned you enough, that you're not going to teach something that they don't agree with. So they go ahead and they foment false doctrine and misinformation, and they teach these things through generation after generation. They send them through the Bible colleges, get done with them, and these guys go out. And you can sit there and you can, it's just like, you know, you can go out and if you've got the gift to sing, you can sing and sing and sing and sing. You can sing as a Christian. You can sing as a Christian who's a lesbian or a gay. You can sing as a heathen. You can sing. It doesn't matter. It's just like when you're preaching, you know, if you've had a little training like that, all you need to do is have a commentary, the Word of God, and write it down. You can read it and away you go. But see, this that I speak, this is the Word of God. It's backed by the anointing of the Spirit. It's like a hammer. There's a difference. And Paul's telling Timothy, you preach that word. You be instant in season, out of season. You know, whether it's convenient or not convenient, if there's something there that people need to be reproved or rebuked about or exhorted even, you tell them. But see, Timothy would use the things that Paul taught. Paul was taught by the Lord. For the time will come, he says, and the reason that he wanted him to do it, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Now, we got some that follow fables. You know, and I could tell you a few of them. I don't get into denominational stuff. I don't do that. I don't care what denomination you are. I don't care who you think you are. I don't even care whether you think you're a Muslim or a Hindu. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. I'm dealing with humans, with spirits. But I can tell you how to get saved, and I can tell you who to look to. You need to look to our God and Father through His Son, Jesus Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach. That's it. You need to receive him, according to John 1. You need to be born again of the Spirit, according to John 3. And then, of course, confession is made unto salvation, as Paul pointed out. And the word of faith is nigh thee, according to what Paul also taught. We'll cover that in Romans. Remember, there's a Romans road of salvation that many people, Baptists, are really good at it. But see, Paul was telling Timothy that you need to preach this word. You know, they're going to come a time, Timothy, they're not going to endure sound doctrine. They're not going to listen to you. But they will have these other lusts, and they will heap to themselves teachers that soothe the lust, that say, it's okay, go ahead and do it. You know, because they're not going to listen to you, Timothy, because you're going to reprove them and rebuke them. You're going to give them scripture. You're going to tell them they can't do these things. They're not going to want to hear you. See, and that's where we're at today in America. They don't want to hear, see. They look for teachers that'll, oh, well, it's okay. You know, God didn't mean that. You can go ahead and be that way. You know, God loves you. He's a God of love. And they shall be turned away their ears from the truth and be turned to fables. And there's a lot of them that follow some of the fables I could tell you about. And they're pure fable. But he says, but watch thou in all things and endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For anybody that's in the ministry, that's what you have to do. But the biggest thing about the proof of the ministry is being faithful. See, we are called as God's servants, even you as a Christian, to testify, you are called to be faithful. And that's what you're supposed to be, is faithful. That's the number one thing a Christian is to do, be faithful. Number one thing that I can be in my ministry is be faithful unto what God has given me. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. See, there's Paul. I've kept the faith. Now, see, that's what we want to say. When our time is done, we're going to say, well, you know, I fought the fight of faith. I'm done. I've done everything that I think I can do. The course that I was on, God gave it and laid it before me, and I followed it. I was faithful, and I know it's time for me to go. I know God is calling me home. Therefore, Timothy, I fought a good fight. I finished my course, Timothy, and I've been faithful. And I want you to be faithful, Timothy. You've got a lot of stuff ahead of you. Paul was saying his goodbyes. He says to Timothy, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. See, that's, we need to love his appearing. We need to be faithful. We need to fight that good fight. We need to finish the course that God lays out. And everybody, not everybody's going to have the same course laid out for them. We're all to be faithful. We're all to fight the good fight. We're all not to quit. But everybody has a different course. My course is not like your course. Even two preachers don't have the same course. Yeah, they're both preachers, but it's not the same course. It's always different. You'll never, almost never, have the same problems and issues. You'll have some that are like. You'll be different than the next guy. Your course isn't like theirs. Absolutely not. He says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. He wanted to see Timothy. He says, for Demas has forsaken me. Now, see, this is the personal part I like with the epistles. Because the epistles get into this, and you can really sense this compassion, love, the concern. You know, while he's a hard-bitten apostle and been all over, and he had been left for dead, he had been shipwrecked, he had suffered so much, he'd been in jail, he testified, you know, before Caesar himself. He says, Timothy, I need you to come to me. for Demas has forsaken me. He loved this present world, and he went over to Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. That's where the others went. He said, only Luke is with me, the doctor, physician. Take Mark, he says, and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. See, these are last notes that he's saying. Oh, he was dictating this. And he, you know, I think it's Ephesians, the letter to Ephesians, that he says, see how a large epistle I've written by my own hand. But normally, the prophet or the apostle, you know, like in this, they would dictate it to their scribe. Jeremiah did that. You know, they all had a scribe, and they would write it down as the Lord would fill the bucket of the apostle or the prophet. And so he's given you the last things here. You know, he's said goodbye. He's covered everything with Timothy to help him, because he knows when he's gone, Timothy is not going to have Paul to ask. Timothy knows that. So Paul had to cover in these two epistles some very important things. Things that would help Timothy rise above where he was at right now. He says, Antiochus, I've sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee in the books, but especially the parchments. Doesn't tell you exactly what, you know, whether these were parchments that had already been written in or he was going to write some more. But he wanted a coat. Must be getting cold. He said, drop off and get my coat for me. And bring me something to write on and bring the books, especially the, you know, I want the books because I want to read them and study, but I also need the parchments. I'm going to be doing some writing. And he says, while you're at it, beware of Alexander the coppersmith, who did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he has greatly withstood our words. Now you see, when they would preach, Alexander the coppersmith would stand against them. Now earlier he said men like Jannes' Jambres who withstood Moses. This is what Alexander the coppersmith was like. He was like the example that Paul gave earlier of Jannes and Jambres who withstood Moses. They resisted the truth. They wouldn't listen to Moses. And so Alexander the coppersmith would not listen. And he withstood them, very much so. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it be not laid to their charge. Now see, when persecution comes, you know, you always know. Because persecution will make the flock scatter. What happened when the Lord was taken up? And it's a prophecy, you know. You know, when the shepherd's smitten, or when he's taken, the sheep scatter. And when you have a main man like Apostle Paul, and he starts facing all this stuff, and he's taken, people are going to split. You know, when the fire of persecution comes, it's a zip, you know, nobody's around. You know, one minute they're there, and then all of a sudden things are getting tough. Well, you know, my mother's calling me. I think I got to go over there. She's kind of old, you know. I forgot to fill up my car. I got to go fill it up. Okay, I'll be right back. Maybe. Oh, I got a good movie I got to watch. I'm not going to go over there, man. Those people hate Christians. See you later. Oh, yeah, man, don't think I'm going to walk down that end of town and start talking to him. Oh, boy, no way. I've got this thing to take care of, and it's very important. You know, I've got important things to do. It happens. Especially if you're called of God and you feel God has called you to do something, trying to find people to join you, they don't do it. But after you go and it becomes successful, then everybody wants in on it. Yeah, this is the way it is. It's the way it works, folks. Or if you're like a home missions pastor and you're in that small little church barely making ends meet, you know, and you're living in this old beat-up trailer, not fit for a dog to live in, but you're in it, and there's holes in the floor that you can see the dirt underneath the trailer. But you're there by faith because you believe God has called you. Oh, brother. We do make mistakes. We do get in situations. And I can tell you right now that if you think you're called, you better think twice. Because if you're not called and you think you were, all hell's about ready to break loose, and you better be able to reach the gate of heaven and be able to take care of issues, because this thing will eat you alive. Many people treat it like a job, but it's not a job, it's a call. At my first answer, okay, we did that. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be made fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. What does it say about the devil? Walks about as a roaring lion. Here is Paul going through persecution. He's preaching because the Lord had called him that all the Gentiles might hear, and Paul sought to go to preach to him, so he was preaching to him. The fire of persecution hit. Alexander the coppersmith came against him. People started forsaking him. There was nobody around except for Paul. He continued preaching, and the Lord strengthened him and delivered him out of the mouth of the lion. Now, you can just see it. I mean, all hell's breaking loose, people leaving, and you're standing there, you know. Where'd everybody go, you know? They're gone. Welcome to Christianity. Yeah, well, unless you're in the Middle East, there's nowhere to go. You know, in that case, when ISIS comes in like they did in Mosul or Fallujah or any number of places, oh, God help them. I mean, it was a mess. It was a butcher shop. When they got a hold of the Yazidis, oh, dear God in heaven, some of the worst genocide that we've had. They still haven't found some of them young girls they took. Oh, God help us. What men will do to men in the name of religion and God is beyond me. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, he says, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Salute Priscilla and Aquila and the house of Onesimus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Now see, this is the second time he's told him. This means he really wants to see Timothy. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. Now I love this. Now see, in Romans, when we get to Romans, he goes through a list, and it's not Paul, but it's his scribe that he's doing it. The Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit, grace be with you, amen. The second epistle unto Timotheus, ordained the first bishop of the church of the Ephesians, was written from Rome when Paul was brought before Nero the second time. And Nero was crazier than a loon. See, these things are personal in the conclusion, and it takes the Spirit to touch your heart, but I hope you get this. These were real people facing life-threatening situations, and there were people all over the Roman Empire that Paul and all of his people and the other apostles had led to the Lord. And they were scattered everywhere. And these guys are going everywhere. Erastus is over at Corinth. Trophimus got sick, and he was left at Miletus. But he says, Eubulus greets you, and Pudens and Linus. See these, and he says, all the brethren. There's a whole group of them that was there as well. See, you can sense that fellowship, that unity of people coming together in a time when there was persecution, a time when Christianity was tough. Now, see, it's tough today. In America, it's tough because, you know, we have lost the torch and the love, and we've backslidden. We've had money, we've been rich, you know. The rich fall in many of these kind of traps. You get over the Middle East, and it's not because you're rich, it's because you're there, and the devil's coming through the area, and he's killing all Christians. See, that's war and violence. You can find that all over the globe now. See, folks, this thing is not going to get any better. But God will sustain us. We are in the end times. But see, God yearns to bring his church together. And I don't mean denominations, I mean people that live by faith and walk in love towards one another. And they have a cause. See, they're not driving. They're walking. There's horses. They have boats. They had chariots, but many of them didn't have the money for a chariot. The Romans had the chariots. The Roman army walked everywhere. And then, they had the Romans, and many of them, different groups, they had the horsemen. But most of the people, if you had a horse or something, you used it in the field, or you used your ox in the field. These people spread the gospel, and they had to walk or find a ride somehow. And when they were put in prison, there ain't no gas heaters in those prisons. Dear God in heaven, we're so soft in America, I'm wondering if anybody's going to survive. But see, you got to have faith here that God will make a way and deliver us out of the lion, the mouth of the lion, like he did Paul. God's no respecter of person. Father, on that I close. Bless your people. Let them hear this word in their soul, Father. May it make a difference for them, and may they be prepared for your glory. In Jesus' name. And I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from this prayer and those who have heard it, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, you took us right up to the end.
I did. Well, we got
a
little time.
Good. Yeah, not much. Well, I just want to thank you for that good word and that encouragement tonight.
Well, you're welcome. We thank the Lord, and I thank the Lord for the writings, and I really appreciate these personal salutations and admonitions and closings that are in the epistles.
Oh, yes, they're just great. They're awesome.
You know, they're rich. They give you insight.
They are.
You know?
Well, you know, we're going to have to go. So I want to tell everybody, thank you for joining us. We love you and we pray for you. God be with you and bless you richly with his presence and the power and his power in your life.
Yes. Good night, everybody. Till next week.
Good night, everybody.
Shalom. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.